Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee and we recognize our great need that we have of thee. And we are thankful, Lord, that we can come to thee knowing, Lord, that thou canst supply our need like no other can. And so we lean upon thee, we trust in thee, that thou wilt provide, and that thy goodness would be felt among us, and that we might be blessed for having been in thy house in this evening hour. Bless thou the reading of thy word. Bless thou the meditation thereof. Speak to our hearts. We, thy congregation, come before thee, asking thee and imploring of thee, Lord, that thou wouldst fill our needs. For we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the second book of Kings, chapter number 6. 2 Kings, chapter number 6. That's on page 450 in the Pew Bible. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, and I may fetch, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man to whom ye seek. And he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand upon him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man before him, but ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? As we go about our lives and we read different things, we always have a bit of trepidation about what we're reading as to its validity, up to its truth. So when we read something in the history books, we wonder, well, what's the bias behind some of this that they're documenting of what happened in history? Or when we read something in the media, we certainly read it with a lot of caution. But when we read the Word of God, we know that it is true. We know that this is the single source of truth. There is no other source of truth. It is the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Jesus Christ said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth. It is found in God's word and in God's word alone. And so this evening, Jesus, I'd like to use the thought where Jesus said that, and herein is that saying true. Jesus said, and herein is that saying true. So this is truth. When we read God's word, it's truth. And he brings forth that truth. And so he says, and herein is that saying true. And then we can read through scriptures and we can say, yes, and herein is this saying true. It's true what the Bible says here. And so as we consider a passage of scripture that we read this evening, that something that happened a long time ago, we can see that what's written in the New Testament is true. It stands, and we can see that it's reflected even in that which had transpired in times long before. So we read the first part of the chapter, and the servants of Elisha, the man of God, were in a place where it was too constrictive to them, and they're like, let's move and let's go to an area where there's more space and we'll have more room. And as we read there, the one of the servants were cutting down a tree, and as they were cutting, the axe head falls off, and it falls off to the river bottom, and he cries out and he says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And he has fear in his heart, because this was something that didn't belong to him, and he was going to need to return it, and perhaps this was going to be a challenge for him. A small matter, we might think, but yet it was something that was important to him. And the man of God, Elisha, provided. He provided. The Lord providing through this man of God for that need. There was a need there. And so the servant was able to retrieve the axe head from the water. And so when we consider something like that, we can sometimes say that, well, that's, you know, based on how we're looking at it, that's maybe a smaller matter. That's not something that's very important. But yet God cares. But yet God cares. And he fulfills our needs. And so herein is a saying true that we read in Romans, where it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" This is a true saying. This is a true saying. That if God did the greatest thing of providing for us his son, and sparing not his son, but delivering him up for us all, that we might be saved, here the Bible is saying, "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The Lord will provide for us even in those smaller matters. If the Lord provided for us his only begotten son, he will provide for us in the other things too. And herein is that saying true, that he will also freely give us all things that we have need of. He will provide our needs. As we look to him, he will provide our needs. The Lord will, as only he can do. And none other. And so we see that played out here in this chapter, in 2 Kings chapter 6. That even in this matter of the axe head falling into the water, that it was recovered for him. And the Lord provided. The next part of the chapter speaks of Elisha and the Syrians, and the king of Syria wars against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants and said, "I'm going to go to such and such of a place." And he goes there. And then the man of God, Elisha, tells the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." There was a warning to the king of Israel by the man of God. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because that's where the king of Syria is, and he's looking to make war with you. So don't go there. The Bible gives us warning. The Bible gives us instruction of how to avoid destruction. In Hebrews, we read, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." So Elisha, the man of God, spoke to the king of Israel. And the Bible here is saying, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth," such as the man of God, Elisha, he just spoke from on earth, "much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Jesus came down here upon this earth, and he brought forth the word of God. He says, "These are not my words, these are the words of my Father." And he's bringing it to us. And if we believe them, and if we are obedient to him, then it will be well with us. And we will enjoy blessings in our lives. And we will be fruitful. And we will multiply in the Lord. And things will go well for us. But if we refuse and rebel and believe not the words of Jesus Christ, the Bible here has a stern warning. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven." And herein is that saying true. This is a true saying. The king of Israel needed to heed the warning of Elisha, the man of God, so that he would not fall into destruction. But Elisha was just a man. But Jesus came from heaven, and he brought forth God's word. And we are being given a warning that we are not to refuse him that speaketh from heaven. And herein is that saying true. So the king of Israel did not go down there. And the king of Syria is troubled. And he's saying, who's telling the king of Israel about what I'm doing? And one of the servants say, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, he telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Apparently, those that were from Syria understood who Elisha was and knew that God was with him and that God was able to speak to him and know all things. And so the king of Israel, or king of Syria, says, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And they say that he's in Dothan. And so they come, the Syrians come with horses and chariots and a great host, and they compass the city round about. And the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, and behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? There was great fear in this that what they had seen. Here was a man of God and some of his servants, defenseless, in the sense that they didn't have any weaponry, they didn't have chariots, they didn't have horses, they didn't have any artillery. But the Lord was with them, and the Lord provided for their needs. And so we go to Psalm 27, and we read, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here was these men of God, the man of God and his servants, Elisha. They were here, and they were encamped round about with a very powerful army. The Syrian army was a very powerful army. The children of Israel were constantly afraid of them because of their terror and because of how strong they were. But the psalmist says, though a host should encamp round about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And so in herein is that saying true, that the Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If the Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? Herein is that saying true, that we can have faith in the Lord who can do all things. We have faith in him. And so that even though a host should rise up against us, even though our enemies would surround us, that we could be confident in the Lord and trust in him. Trust in him. Perhaps that's easier said than done when it happens. I can just imagine how it is currently right now for people that are in the Gaza Strip, knowing that this very powerful army of Israel has very good weaponry and are shooting their city with their airplanes. And so they have an army round about them. And I'm sure there's much fear there. And even in our lives, when we see that there is a source of power that's far, far greater than us, and it surrounds us, that our heart could come to fear. But herein is that saying true, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. He who can do all things is the source of my strength. And so we can have peace in the midst of turmoil, and we can trust in him. And herein is that saying true. So Elisha says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So the servants were able to see the power of the Lord. The servants were able to see that this man of God, he had faith. This man of God, he was connected with God. And then we go back to Romans 8 again, and we read a verse that says, "And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And herein is that saying true, that if God be for us, who can be against us? The Almighty is with us. The Almighty is providing for us our needs. The Almighty knows the trivial matters in our lives, when the axe head falls off, to those things, those times when we have a host that is of an army of our enemies that are compassed round about us. And so we go back to the Word and we say, if God be for us, who can be against us? What does it matter? Would the Syrian army be greater than God? And certainly not. And then further we read here in 2 Kings 6 where it says, "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." And so, what does Elisha do? Does he go and communicate with the king of Israel and say, bring your defenses down and we're going to battle with Syria? No, he turns to the Lord. He turns to the Lord and he prays. And Jesus gives a parable and he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he gives that parable where that widow comes to the king, that unjust judge comes to the unjust judge, and she makes her petition with him continuously. And she didn't give up in her giving of her petitions to this king. And so Jesus is, or to the judge. And so Jesus is teaching, don't give up in praying. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then at the conclusion of that parable, Jesus says, I tell you that he shall avenge them speedily. The Lord will avenge us. The Lord will help us because he can do these things. With God, all things are possible. And herein is that saying true. So, Elisha, after they're blind, he leads them out into Samaria. And then he prays to them. Before he prays to the Lord again, the king of Israel says to Elisha, when the Syrian army now is in a vulnerable state. They're blind, they're being led, and they don't know where they are. They can't defend themselves. And the king of Israel, in an anxious spirit, says, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Can we get rid of them? And he was answered back, saying, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite them whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? But it wasn't the king of Israel that used his bow and his sword to capture the Syrians. It was the man of God praying to his God. And so Elisha says to the king of Israel, set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And so again, we see in the Word of God how the Word of God teaches us to do these things, to set water and to set bread before your enemies. In Romans 12, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, like the king of Israel wanted to do, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So when evil is done against us or against another, let's always remember, vengeance is the Lord's. He will judge, and he will repay. And then further it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. This is what the Lord is calling us to do. This is what he tells us to do. And this saying is true. We go to the Sermon on the Mount, and we read that these are the words of Jesus also, as it is written in Romans. Jesus says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Love those Syrians. the man of God, Elisha, was telling the king of Israel. Love those Syrians. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is a true saying. This is a true saying. And so we look to the word of God because it is truth. It will guide us through this life, and it will guide us into eternity. And so we go to the single source of truth. We go to the Bible, and we see what the commands are and how they've played out in times past and how they play out in today's time likewise. So it comes to pass then that Syria goes, after their blindness is recovered and they go back home, that they leave Israel alone for a while. And there's rest and there's peace in the land. And then it says, and it came to pass after this that Behad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. So here comes the king of Syria again against Israel. And behold, there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head sold for 80 pieces of silver. 80 pieces of silver. That is a huge amount of money. And a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. Something that you would never think has value would go and sell for 5 pieces of silver. Again, a very large sum of money for something that would have no value. And so it's a very difficult time. When the Bible says that there came a famine, that's an understatement. That's an understatement. It was a very, very difficult time in the time of Israel here now. And to make matters worse, of the famine, Syria is at their doorstep again, and they're besieging Israel again. And so there's nothing. There's nothing. And people, and the situation becomes so desperate that two mothers make an agreement that they would eat their sons. And as we read here, that the one mother boiled her son and they ate her son, and then the second mother hid her son. And so the first mother comes to the king of Israel and says, "I have this predicament." And he says, "If the Lord can't help you, I certainly can't help you. What are you going to get from me? I can't help you." And he says, "Well, what's your problem?" And she explains the situation to him, and he becomes so distraught. He becomes so distraught that he rent his clothes and he passed by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. He was in a very, very distraught disposition. And then he becomes angry. And he becomes angry with the man of God. When earlier he was so thrilled that his enemies were had this blindness and he had a perfect opportunity to annihilate his enemy. And he said, "My father," he addressed Elisha, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And now he comes to the point where he has anger and rage towards the man of God. And he says, God do so and more also to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand upon him this day. Rage, anger, willing to kill the man of God. And then we know that Jesus already predicted this, that this would happen, that those who love the Lord are persecuted, and he speaks of these things, and even even when he speaks of the sufferings before the end of the world, he says, and they shall deliver, Jesus says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And so this happened. This happened here. Elisha was hated, even by his own, the king of Israel. He was hated. And the king of Israel wanted to behead Elisha. And so herein is that saying true of what Jesus said, that they will hate you. And so after these things happen, we read in the first verse of the next chapter that Elisha says to the people, he says, you know, tomorrow at this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. A measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. A shekel in that time was less than a dollar's worth. It was like 50 cents. And two measures of barley for a shekel. And he says, in the gate of Samaria, right here, not somewhere else, right here in Samaria, these good things, fine flour, barley, when they were putting value on a dove's dung, now he's saying, these good things, they're going to be sold for 50 cents, a shekel. You can buy it, and it's going to happen right here. And they were surprised, and they were saying, how can these things be? If God opens the windows of heaven, it still couldn't be. How can it be? But we know that with God all things are possible. And herein is that saying true, that with God all things are possible. And so we look to the Lord. We look to the Lord to supply our needs, and to no other source. We look to Him. And so I'd like to finish with one more truth that the Bible speaks of, and we know that this is truth. In Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And herein is that saying true. And the people in Samaria experienced it, that although there was a famine, although there was an enemy that besieged them round about, that the Lord provided. And he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we know that to be true today. And so we think, well, okay, there was some trivial things that happened. The axe head fell off. There was the encompassing of the army around about Syria. That was something big. But the Lord was providing for them in their need all along. All along. And even through the famine. And that famine ended because God supplied all their need according to his riches. And so we think, but there's times when there's persecution. Just like there was against Elisha, the king of Israel wanted to take off his head. There's persecution. Well, the Lord will supply our needs. In life or in death, the Lord will supply. All things that we have need of, the Lord will supply that need. It will come from heaven above. God will supply our need. And we look to him in faith. And we know that his saying is true. We know that the word of God is true. And so we've talked about many scriptures in this evening, and knowing that they're all true. But perhaps we can just remember this verse here. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's who we're looking to supply our need. God can do that by Jesus Christ. He will supply our need. What is your need? What is it that you have need of in your life? Are you looking to the Lord in faith? Are you trusting in him? Are you doing what Elisha did and pray to the Lord that he would provide? Have you cast all your faith upon the Lord that he would supply your need? With God, all things are possible. He can do all things. He cares for us in the small things. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He will provide for us in the small things. He will provide for us when the armies are compassed round about us. But we have to have faith in this verse. God shall supply all your need. God shall supply all your need. Only he can do that. That is truth. Amen.
The young man was afraid. What shall we do? And it is my prayer, as was the prayer of Elisha for myself and for all of us, dear ones. As Elisha prayed, he says, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." What that young man couldn't see was the spiritual world that Elisha could see. And God granted that prayer. He answered that prayer to Elisha, and the young man saw the chariots of fire that were all around Elisha. And what a fitting close to the service with the hymns that we sang. Come, I am the way, the life. I'll provide all that you are needing. Trust in me. Do not delay. God with us, we need not fear. And even though later in the verse that we sang, oh, how blessed that man shall be who may die, O Lord, for thee. That what God gives us, the deliverance, is to be able to die in Christ Jesus. So it's very easy to be flabbergasted. We're not faced what this young man went out to see, and he saw, but there's many calamities in our lives and many things, even relationships that break down in families and various things that take place that just cause such deep heartaches and hurts, and you think you can never get past some things. And we just need to see the spiritual world. We need to pray that God would open our eyes so that we may see God enthroned on high as the servant of God, Stephen, while he's being stoned. And he gave his life for the Lord. And the songwriter pulls out of the scripture and says, how blessed will that soul be, as Stephen was. And so the spiritual world was open to him, even in dying. And he saw the Lord Jesus, and the comfort that he provided was far more than what the stones could do to him. And so it is. We just have to have faith. And dear ones, it's not enough time to read, but I'd urge each one of us to go home and read what David says in Psalm number 27. I'll just read the last verse, but take the time to read the whole psalm. It's a psalm where it says, in my Bible here, it says, David sustains his faith by the power of God. So it's all in him, and he closes and he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the last verse. But take the time and read Psalm 27 and 34. Psalm 34 is a very encouraging psalm that we can take with us, and sincerely pray that the Lord would open your eyes also, our dear friends, that when you see the spiritual world, when you see Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did, everything else that your carnal self is drawn to as a way of escape of this or that is falls by the wayside. You see, there's nothing there. When your eyes see the chariots of fire that are encamped around you, as David says in each of these psalms, that the angel of the Lord encampeth around me. When you see those things, but the eyes of faith that he gives you, there's nothing that scares you. It's forward with the Lord. May God bless his word this night, this evening upon our hearts. Amen.